Man, we got a call last night on our way home from prayer meeting, and Tony Elkins called us, and Sharon had a cousin, I believe it was, that passed away yesterday, out swimming and dove in the water and drowned. It was just a freak accident. I don't really know what went on, but I think his last name was Harper, so you may be seeing it in your paper. And but be in prayer for that family. I know he has a child, I think, in college, and it's a major loss to a family. And so let's hold them up in prayer. Amen. Turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And this is the story of David and Goliath. A contest of champions. A contest of champions. Flesh versus the spirit. Flesh and the spirit. And you'll see, I hope to relate this to you. I mean, all of us know the story of David and Goliath. We've heard it since we were children in children's church or junior class, whatever you wanted to call it. We've heard this story. But I hope to make this alive to you today as an adult and just sort of put you into the spot of David today. So we're going to read quite a bit of 17. So let's start. It says, "Now the Philistines gathered their armies to battle and were gathered at Succoth, which belongs to Judah. And they camped between Succoth and Azekah in the other city. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up the battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side with a valley between them. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, 9 foot 9 inches. This is a 10-foot ceiling in this building. He would be rubbing the top with his hair, probably. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze, 126 pounds. And he had a bronze armor in his leg and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, 15 pounds, and a shield bearer went before him. Then he stood and he cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, 'Why have you come up to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourself and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us.' And the Philistine said, 'I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together.' When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of the Ephraimite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse and who had 8 sons. And the man was old, advanced in years, in the days of Saul. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to battle. The names of his 3 sons who went to battle were Eliab, the firstborn, the next was Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. David was the youngest, and the 3 oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistines drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. Then Jesse said to his son David, "Now take now for your brothers an ephod of this dried grain and those 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp, and carry these 10 cheeses at the captain of the thousands, and see how your brothers fare, and bring back the news of them." And Saul, they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, and took the things and went as Jesse had commanded. And he came to the camp of the army that was going out to fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistine, and he spoke according to the same words, so David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him, and they were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defile Israel, and he shall kill, and he shall be the man who kills him. The king will enrich him with great riches, and he'll give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel." Then David spoke to all the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? And who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him in this manner, saying, "So shall it be done for the man who kills him." Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, "Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and your insolence of your heart, for you have come down here to see the battle." And David says, What have I done? Is there not a cause?" Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing, and these people answered him as the first ones did. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you're a youth, and he's a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by the beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both a lion and a bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defiled the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put his bronze helmet on his head, and he also clothed him with his coat of mail. David fastened his sword to the armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them." So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, into a pouch which he had, and his sling with it in his hand, and drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the fields." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. This day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistine to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." So it was when the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead, so that the stone sank into the forehead and he fell on the face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that the champion was dead, they fled. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I ask for your anointing upon this story to make it more than just a story, to make it relevant to our life today. Lead us, teach us, guide us. May we be men of faith, armed by you and you alone. Father, we trust in you. Lord, let the hearers hear today what the Spirit of God has to say. Now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A contest of champions. I wanted to call this How to Get Ahead. That's why I didn't. I'm gonna lay a little bit more groundwork, so I wanna sow these into your life. In Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6 says, the word of the Lord came to Zerubbabel, and it says, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts is the battle name of God. When he says Lord of hosts, he's showing himself as the guy who leads the army, the commander in chief of the army. I love this verse because I think this verse speaks to most of us. Most of us try to live our lives in our own strength, in our own wisdom, our own intellect. We try to figure out our problems and we try to address our problems. And men, we are extremely guilty of this. Your wife comes up to you and says, this has happened today and this has happened today and this is happening. And what do? You're not hearing what's happening. You're hearing, what do I need to do to fix it? What can I fix? And there's a lot of times in life you're going to come up with a problem that you can't fix. Just don't have it. You cannot do it. It's not by might, nor by power, but it is by the Spirit of God. We have got to learn to quit relying on flesh and start walking in the Spirit. Start relying upon that voice that speaks from God so that we hear His voice over our own. In Romans chapter 8, verse 5, it says, for those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, another word for flesh is carnal. Those who live according to their carnal nature. What's carnal mean? Meat. Meat. We like to eat meat. You're carnal. You're a, what do you call that? Very good. Thank you. Those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh. You know what we call that? If you do this, you're a meathead. Don't be a meathead. Right? You heard that? You remember Archie? His favorite term for his son-in-law? Yo, meathead. Guys, have you ever been a meathead? Absolutely. When are we a meathead? When we allow the flesh to lead us. And I'm going to tell you, I think it's the number one battle that every one of us face. As learning to, you know, every baby that's born, they cry out when what happens? When their flesh needs something. And that's okay. It's all right for a baby to do that. It's all right for a 2-year-old to say, hey, I need this, you know, you need to do this for me. But there's something wrong about it when you're 40 years old and you're still crying out, change my diaper! You got a problem. And your wife's got a bigger problem. But that's the way we are to God. Change my diaper. Because I have not learned to walk in the Spirit. We are walking totally fleshly. What leads us and guides us is the flesh. If you have a problem with pornography, if you have a problem with lust, you are flesh-led. You have a problem with money. You are flesh. You understand that? And it comes down to who are you feeding? Are you feeding the spiritual man or are you continuing to feed the flesh? Because if you feed the flesh, he gets large. If you start feeding the spirit, he gets large. And the only way you can kill that old fleshly man is to starve him to death. You need to put him on a diet. Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Have you got a problem? Have you got a, come on, if you're just really honest with yourself, you might be telling yourself, man, that's me. And if you've got that problem, if you would be honest enough to say, that's me, that pastor, he doesn't know it, but man, he is just he's doing everything but call out my name. Then right there is the answer. Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill. You've got to switch masters. You've got to begin to rely upon the Spirit of God and quit relying upon your senses. Quit relying upon this body that you live in to lead and guide you, because it will. How many problems have we had because people have been led by their flesh and they've jumped out of the bed of their wife and they jumped in another bed, only to find that didn't satisfy them? What happened? Walking in the flesh. Trying to fulfill the lust of the flesh. So much greater to walk in the Spirit, guys. And you've got to train yourself to do that. You ever been minding your business, just going along life, and all of a sudden you see something so unjust that all of a sudden your righteous indignation begins to boil and you tell yourself, I don't want to get involved, but I've got to do something about this. That's the story of David. He saw something that made his blood boil. And it wasn't egotistical. It wasn't about his name. It was about the name of God. He was accused otherwise. Now here's what I find very interesting. You ever known a 14-year-old or a 15-year-old or 16-year-old to do something really exciting? I mean, they did something just, oh man, this is awesome. That didn't go home and tell dad and mom and brother and sister and cousin and nephew. And I mean, they want to tell the world, right? Now, I don't know how you picture it, but I picture David wearing a necklace with a bear claw. You know, I know he had to take a trophy home. So everybody knew he had killed that bear at some point. Maybe he had a lion mane that he made a coat of. Look at this, fellas. Jesse said, David, I want you to go check on your brothers and take this cheese and take this stuff, take these supplies. Now, you got to ask yourself a question. Does Israel not feed their army? I can't imagine a bunch of men sitting out there starving to death trying to fight a war. And if David was allowed to go to the front lines to see what was happening, how many other people went? Don't you think it's pretty natural to think there were a lot of rumors floating around? There was a lot of people that knew that there was a man, a giant, that was challenging the army of Israel. And I think Jesse said, I remember when Samuel laid his hands on the boy. And I know there's something special about this son. Now see, some of you would think Jesse just said, oh, go do this. And I don't believe that. I believe Jesse said, I believe the army of Israel needs a David. Though you may be a child, there's something inside this child that this army needs. You know, I could look at these kids right here. And too many times the church looks at them as children. But I'm going to tell you, there's something inside of you guys that the kingdom of God needs. And we used to say, well, there's the church of tomorrow. And I want you to divorce that statement. You're not the church of tomorrow. You are the church of today. And we need the talents. We need the anointing that you have inside of you for this church. Now, I know that puts a little pressure on you. And you may say, quit preaching to us and start preaching to them old people. But I'm going to tell you, we need you guys. We don't need you to sit around until you're 21 and then leave us for 20 years and come back when you're 42 and you got kids. We need you right now. We need you to, I love the fact that you guys have gathered together up here. I love that. Become a part of the service. Take your part. David had something that whole army needed. Needed that anointing. They needed what David could bring to the table. So David goes and he takes this and he sees what's happening at a distance and he says to one of the commanders, here, hold this. I've got to go investigate. He gets down right towards the front line and he hears what that Philistine has to say. And man, all of a sudden he begins to feel this anger. Very similar to when the bear came up. Very similar to when a lion came up and tried to steal daddy's sheep. And all of a sudden he sees something that's very unjust. And I can see this. I'm telling you, I see this young man going, ooh, hold me back. To the point that his brother says, you insolent thing. I know the pride in your heart. I know you're nothing but a show off. He does not get in strife with his brothers. You get that? You get it? He does not get into a word battle with his brothers. But he makes one statement. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause for Bridge of Hope to be planted in Paris, Tennessee? Is there not a cause that God is calling us to revival? There is a cause. People are going to hell. People's lives are being broken every day. And we are so concerned with us. Do I have money to make my electric bill? Can I make my car payment this month? Are my kids fed? Do they have the new shoes that they need? Well, how about your neighbor? Does he know Jesus? Is there not a bigger cause than making your house payments? I dare say there is. There's a cause in America, and if you don't feel it, something's dead inside of you. There's a cause that says, America, repent! Come back to God. You better be calling out for this nation because there's very likely one day this nation will not be if we don't repent. I'm not for sure where that comes from. Goliath was huge. So will your adversary. Your adversary will be bigger than you, I'll just guarantee you. Because when you compare flesh to flesh, you're going to say, I can't do this. You don't come to them in flesh. We ain't fighting in the flesh. We're coming not in our might, but in the power of the Almighty God. David says, let me tell you, I didn't kill no bear because I'm so strong. Something happens within me. Something, I don't understand it. But something just sort of takes over when these moments happen. Something comes over me and I just know I gotta kill me a bear. And that Philistine is no different. He's gonna die today. I'm gonna tell you, many times we read this story and we wondered, why did he pick up 5 stones? Did he have a little lack of faith there? 2 Samuel, we find out why he did. Picks up 5 stones. Goliath's got 4 brothers. David didn't go out to kill one. He went out to kill 5. He said, maybe when this giant falls, they'll all leave. But it's entirely possible when this giant falls, another's going to come up and take his place. So I'm just going to go prepare. I may have to whip all 5 of them. But I believe the greater is he that's in me than he that's in that uncircumcised Philistine who's defying my God. Boy, the word starts going through camp. Can you imagine the rumor mill? David said he would. David said this. David said this. Before long, the word gets all the way up to the king. Now there's a time when if a man spoke out of turn and the king says, send me that little boy. That little boy might have backstepped. Oh, no. You know, I was just saying what I'd do if I was a man. If I was a man, I'd fight him. But I'm 15 years old. David didn't do that. He didn't sidestep nothing. Did he? He went to the king when the king... That would make most of us stutter just going in front of the king. But David goes in front of the king and he says, what do you think about this? He said, I think that man's going to die today. He's going to meet his maker. How dare he defy the armies of God? I'm telling you, this young man was riled up. There was something flowing through his blood. He said, this ain't right and I'm ready to go. And there ought to be something that stirs you up too. I don't know what stirs the church anymore sometimes. But it sort of amazes me. What's it going to take? An explosion? I'm telling you, something ought to shake us. Something ought to excite us. Something ought to get our motor going. Whatever it is. Remember our brother praying for those Christians being slaughtered on the mountain. I hadn't even heard of it when he prayed that first night. But I knew when he began to pray, I thought, something's stirring. That ought to stir you. I think because we watch so much of the news, it takes so much to stir. The little stuff just don't seem to bother us. Well, the kid got hit and killed. Oh, that's really bad. Happens every day. Someone got murdered. Oh, yeah. Happens all the time. Another drug addict. Got another bar open. Got another porn shop open. And what do, Christian? Oh, it's just the way it is. Rains on the just and the unjust, and we just got to take it. Good night. I get so mad at that laxical spirit. I just want to take people sometimes. Come on! Wake up! Wake up! It is time for the church to arise! We are a mighty army that's fell asleep on the front line! I wish that I didn't fit so much. I wish we'd quit blaming Washington for our problems. We'd get a mirror and hold that mirror up in our face and say, I see the problem now. The church has just allowed whatever wanted to come into our city. We just say, oh, okay. The righteous need to stand up. We will be brave. We can be brave. I want you to know that David was going to decide the fate of all of Israel. One man on this side, one man on that side. And whoever wins, the other side says, we will serve them as slaves. So not only was David stepping up, but the nation of Israel was saying, are we really going to put our fate in the hands of a child? Do I really want him to go to battle for me? Creflo Dollar says this, sin will make cowards of men. I love that statement. Sin will make cowards. You see, they maybe didn't like the odds of a young boy going to battle for him, but they liked it better than them going to battle. I'd rather he do it as I do it. He's the one that's fought the lion and the bear. I had never fought a lion and bear. I don't even know what I'm doing out here in this stupid army. So the king says, okay, son, if you think you can do it, let's get you dressed for battle. Here, I want you to wear the best. I want you to have the sharpest sword, the best spear. I want you to have the best shield. I want you to have the best armor and the best armor belongs to me. So I want you to get dressed in my array. And I want to tell you something. No one should wear another person's armor. We all have different anointings. You need to quit comparing yourself to somebody else because you ain't that person. You need to say, I am who I am, and I am who God created me to be, and I am the anointed of God, and I am the righteousness of Christ Jesus. I'm Eric. And I'm only Eric. But I am God's anointed. As long as I stay in my calling, I'll see great things. But if I try to wear Melanie's armor, first of all, I ain't going to get it on. Eric's going to take a bigger size. How many times have we seen Christians go out in someone else's armor? You remember in the New Testament? Those sons of Sceva said, hey, we've seen this done before. We know how to cast out demons. In the name of the God that Paul serves, we say, come out. And the demon said, oh yeah, we'll come out. We'll come out, boys. Let's play. Let's have a dance. They beat the fire out of them sons of Sceva. Right? Why? Because they weren't armored for that. Wasn't their anointing. Don't wear someone else's armor. Be who you are. Find out who you are. And then walk in your own. Now, do we believe in the armor of God? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 16 or 17 talks about the armor of God. And you ought to get dressed every day for a battle because you never know when a battle's going to hit you. You know, in the hospital, when you work in the hospital, you treat every patient like they have AIDS. You treat every patient like they could infect you. You guard yourself. Same thing for us, guys. We need to treat every day like this may be the day. So I'm going to get ready for battle. I'm going to put my helmet on. I'm going to belt up with truth. I'm putting my, whatever that thing is called, of righteousness, the shield of righteousness, the sword of spirit, shield of faith, feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm ready to go to battle. If Satan sees you ready, he may back off. If he sees you run around naked, he's going to say, oh, this is going to be easy today. It's like taking candy from a baby. This old boy hadn't read his Bible in 3 months, hadn't been alone with Jesus in longer than that. I think I'm just going to win this day with him just with a flat tire. You want to see this Christian backslide? I'm just going to let him go out this morning and have a flat tire and see how many curse words can come out of his mouth. That's good preaching. Sometimes it's not the big stuff that throws us. Sometimes it's little bitty stuff. Why? You ain't dressed for battle. You didn't bother getting alone with Jesus for a while. Sometimes it's the little small stuff that just throws you. King says, here, put my armor on. And David says, man, I can't even move in this. I've got to do what's comfortable with me. I remember when my brother called to preach. Jimmy Swaggart was a big thing, boy. I'm telling you what, nobody could preach like Swaggart. I meant that. Oh, I just love it. Carl was 18 years old, and all he'd say is, I'm going to preach like Swaggart. I'm going to be the next Jimmy Swaggart. He quit saying that about mid-80s. You know, my brother wasn't a Swaggart. He was not a Swaggart. Because God didn't need another Swaggart. God didn't call my brother to be a Swaggart. He called him to be a Carl. Guess what? This world doesn't need another Eric Kelleher. They got one. They need a Kevin Kohler. And they need Kevin to walk in his armor and be the man that God's called Kevin. Because Kevin will minister to people that would never listen. And you will touch people's lives. If there's one thing you learn from me, learn this. Be yourself. Can we quit putting on stuff? Can we just be who we are? Real men, real women that's got an anointing of God on them. We're not so great. We're not so smart. But we are anointed. we have the power of the Holy Spirit. And that makes us great. Be yourself. So he goes out to battle. He grabs his 5 stones and he puts them in his pouch. And Goliath is going to try to intimidate him. Goliath is thinking, but I may not even have to swing my sword. May not even have to throw my javelin. I bet I can get this old boy to run without just a good look. He'll just run. How many of us has Satan just roared and scared us back to our house? Oh, I'm a mighty man of God. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And all of a sudden, Satan goes, "Roar!" She was a mighty woman of God. She can do it. Do you know that's what the Bible says? Satan is as a roaring lion. He's got a big roar. But what can he do to you? Nothing. Make you eat your words. David comes to him. David looks at that Goliath and he said, "You come to me with a sword and a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. I'm not here as the son of Jesse. I am here of the son of the Lord of hosts. The God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled for the last time. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you." You ever think about that? This battle that you're fighting. Have you ever thought, maybe this is not my fight? I haven't been here long, but I've been here long enough to do this. I've taken up the burden, the bridge of hope, for a couple hours, only to find out real quickly, I can't do that. Telling Treva the other night, I said, "Man, I said, there's just disasters all over. And my nature, which is to try to help people and try to fix people and try to come up with solutions, all of a sudden comes flat really fast. You just come to the point real quick and says, you know what? I wasn't called to fix people. I'm called to love people. I'm not called to counsel. And I'm not called to tell you what to do all the time. I don't have your answers. I'm called to love you. And I'm called to help lead you under the Lord's anointing. And if I ever get out of that anointing, get real stressed. But when I come back to God, only one man. And I don't have the answers, but you do. You see, the battle is not Eric's, it is the Lord's. And the battle you're facing today is not yours. Brother Bud, the battle you're facing is not yours. Looks like yours. It's the Lord's. Remember the Hebrew children? I don't know whether the Lord will deliver us or not, but I know one thing. We're not bowing to your God, and we will be delivered one way or the other. That's your testimony. I don't know how God is going to choose to heal me, whether it's on this side of eternity or that side. But I know one thing. I am healed in Jesus' name. And I am a victor. For the battle is not mine. It is the Lord's. And when you're serving God, and when you're putting Him first, and when you're doing what's right, I want you to know the battle's not yours. It's God's. Let me come back over here and talk to you guys. I know you love it. I remember what it's like being a teenager. And I would dare say it's probably a lot harder today than it was even then.
rode the bus to vocational school one year. They were smoking joints on the bus, passing them around. Hey, Kelleher, you want one of these? I said, sure. No, I didn't. I said, no, I don't want that. Get that away from me. You know, when you're known as a Christian in school, they watch you like a hawk. They watch you like a hawk. My Uncle Doug was known as a Christian in high school. I don't think he'd mind me saying this. He messed up one time in band camp. He said an ugly word. We were in formation. We was all lined up on this front row. He called somebody a dirty name. Would you like to repent now, Douglas? I would only do this to family, by the way. You know what happened? My brother was, I was pretty close to Doug. And I heard him. And I'm thinking, mercy is one. Yeah, you're right. My brother was on the other end of the band. Yeah, of a football field. All of a sudden, you see my brother step out of formation, comes walking to Doug. And he says, what are you doing? Did you say this? And Doug said, you're darn right I said it. Repentance had not come yet. Now, if anybody else had said that, been no big deal. But you know why it was a big deal? Because of who he was. People knew who he was. People knew he didn't talk like that. Same way with you guys. You watch your testimony. You watch the words of your mouth. You watch how you live. You know why? Not so much for you, but there's 1,000 other kids that need to know there's a God that lives. They will watch your life to see, is it true? And is it real? You guys can do it. I promise you, you can do it. The battle's the Lord's. And He will fight. There's another part to this sermon. You have it on the back here. There's 8 steps that'll help you learn to rely upon the Spirit of God. But I'm stopping. And you say, there is a God in heaven. I heard that. I don't know who said that, but I heard that. This is a great story. You know what really makes it great? It's not just a story. It's the true happening. That a young man could be true to who he was. And you can be true. I don't know what you're facing today. I got a feeling there's a few people in this place that are facing giants. And I just want to tell you, the battle's not yours. It is the Lord's. Let Him fight it through. Now, can I say one more thing? You got to show up. It would have never happened had David not said, I'm going out there to face that guy. Slings a stone right there between the eyes. Knocked him out. Killed him. But then he goes and he grabs that sword. Probably bigger than he was. And I could hear him say, come on, birds, you're going to have a feast today. As he lifted that sword, and off comes that head. And the rest of the chapter talks about him carrying that head around. They said, you need to go see the king. He said, okay, I'll go see the king. I got something to show him. When I was about 12 years old, somebody gave us an old goat. We killed that old goat. We thought we'd eat it, but it was an old goat. I cut that goat's head off, and I thought it'd be funny. We was right there on the main road. We had a big old post that sat outside by our house. And I went and got me some hammer and nails, and I nailed that old goat's head on top of this post. And I remember getting on the school bus, and those kids saying, "Why do you got a goat's head on your post for?" And I just remember thinking, "I don't know for sure." But I thought that was really funny. That thing sat up there for a long time till my mom said, "You get that goat's head off that." I could see David. "Hey guys, look what God's done for us. Look what God did for us. It's not about me. Look what God's done for us. God delivered us. God delivered us. It's not my victory. It's our victory. It's God's victory." One day, you're going to go around carrying the head of a giant. And you're going to say, "It ain't my victory. But look what God has done. Look what God has done." Do you know who I used to be? Stand with me. Flesh versus the Spirit. Who is fighting your battles? Are you trying to fight your battles in the flesh? You know, I've met people that have tried to quit smoking. And I don't know that there's much tougher in life than trying to quit smoking. I had a cook, she smoked. And I told her, I said, "God will deliver you from cigarettes." And she said, "I've tried so many times, Eric, you don't understand." I said, "I'm not saying you didn't try. I'm telling you, God will deliver you from cigarettes." I don't, you know, cigarettes make you smell like hell, but he probably ain't going to send you there, in my opinion. She got up one day and heard the voice of the Holy Spirit say this: "Today would be a good day to quit smoking." Laid her cigarettes down, and I guess to this day, she's never picked them up again. Why? Because the battle is the Lord's, not hers. She'd have died in the fight in the Spirit rather than the flesh. How about that you are struggling financially? Listen to the voice of the Lord. Listen for His voice. He has your answer. You can try all you want to prosper yourself, but the devourer is just, it's like the Pac-Man, just eating everything you get. Battle's the Lord's. It's not yours. Are you sick? Battle's the Lord's. Let's fight it in the Spirit. Me and my wife, we just can't get along. This is an illustration. We just fight all the time. The greatest marriages are two servants in love. But America teaches us that if you don't promote yourself, nobody else is going to promote you. And I have rights. And that woman, she ought to treat me this way. Battle's the Lord's. And when you quit fighting flesh and flesh, start fighting in the Spirit. That doesn't mean writing nasty notes or anything like that. It means you take your problems to the Lord. You're going to find something totally different happens. God can give you the victory. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I just want to ask one question. How many are you up against a giant? Would you just raise your hand and say, "I've got a giant in my life"? My goodness. service is amazing, guys. Absolutely amazing. Probably half the congregation got their hand up, saying, I'm facing a giant. Do I have any giant slayers in this place? Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Father God, I come before You right now, Lord Jesus, and I pray for overcoming victory. I pray for power, strength, and might in the Spirit of God. Lord, I had no idea that there would be that many people that would raise their hand and say, yes, there's a giant in my life. Dear Jesus, I pray, Lord, that they would understand it's not by power and it's not by might, but it is by Your Spirit, says the Lord. I pray for this congregation that the Spirit of God would settle upon them and rest in their heart so that they would commit to You this day, that they're not fighting in the flesh any longer, but they're going to take this by the Spirit. They're going to believe and trust that the battle is Yours and You will fight the battle. Father God, I just pray right now the Spirit of God would bring peace and comfort to each and every heart, but also would bring a word of instruction. Lord, a word to tell them what they need to do, Lord Jesus, how to overcome this giant. And I pray for courage in Jesus' name to touch every hand that went up. Let the courage of the Holy Ghost just touch their hearts and lives. So let it arise within them that they're getting ready to see a mighty victory from the hand of God in their life. I pray for overcoming power in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless your hearts.